Praise the Lord. Shall we sing number 181? There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by.
Going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And oh, I'd love to meet you over there, waiting on the sun. Such singing you'll hear, never heard one more today. Will be glorious, I do declare.
Let's sing to number 298, so get ready.
It was early in the morning, by an ancient place I found, and Jesus stopped to rest his camel train. He had found the right horizon. Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. Let's sing number 229. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He
along the way. You may be seated there. Some will have testimonies. You know, it was one of the biggest, not one of the biggest, but one of the things as my heart was drawn towards the Lord was this one thing. I don't want to guide myself in this. You know, I want Him to walk and talk with me along the way, because I had this thought that if I go to lead Him myself, I'm going to go wrong somewhere. It's just not going to happen. You know, so it's like, Lord, You lead and guide me into this. Whichever way, let me be led by You, because I'm going to get it wrong. So praise the Lord, and that's what we look forward to. You know, for Him to walk and talk with us along the way. Was there any? Thank you, Stone.
Once again, to do with my little fur babies, but I have got a pet rabbit called Ebony. And somehow she got out. I don't know how she got out. But she raced down the driveway next door. And then she eventually came back and I was able to put her back in. Next morning I got up and she was gone again. I don't know how she got out that time either. And she disappeared. And she was gone for 6 days. And I thought, well, some dogs had a good meal or some persons had a good meal. And that's it. And then I thought, no. When Mel gave her testimony the other week, she quoted that scripture that you have not because you ask not. So I just stopped where I was. I said, Lord Jesus, please bring Ebony back. I'm asking you, just like you said in your word, please bring Ebony back. It seems impossible, but I'm going to believe it regardless. And I just left it at that. And the next morning I was walking outside and she just sauntered across the back lawn. I have no idea where she was. She's not damaged. She's absolutely fine. She let me put her back in her pen and she's stayed home ever since. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. No, I actually really love that because it's such a simple thing, you know. And you know, the Lord is teaching you things and working in trials and things like that just to show you, you know, he's absolutely, but he's also in control. It just takes us just to yield ourselves to that. It's a wonderful thing. Any others? Sister Jen. Thanks, Brother Paul.
I'm thankful to the Lord that he gave us journey mercies wherever we went. On the weekend, we always need him. We can't, like someone said, Tim, we can't do anything or go anywhere without the Lord. And he's been teaching me too to just leave things with him that we don't know how to work it out. And like Sister Anna used to say to me, just put it to the Lord. That's how she said it. And I thought, yes, I'll just put it to you, Lord. And he worked out things in an amazing way that we didn't seem possible. But I just give praise to the Lord.
One from Sister Mill as well, thanks.
I thank the Lord, not for Shirley's passing, but I know where she goes. But what I mean by that is the Lord has done, I can't tell you how, but he's just done so much in my heart. I see so many things that, excuse me, that's been bothering me for 51 years, I could say. And I really thank God for it because it is so real. I am such a happy person through knowing better things that I answered the prayer, that so many things that I had questions about. And I couldn't ask anybody because Shirley and I just talked together, but we only had ourselves, but we wouldn't. We didn't know nothing much, but only the Lord knew. But what I'm saying is I thank God because I just know so much more now, and I thank him for answering so many prayers in my life, and I thank him that he took Shirley home. I miss her, but she's in the right place, and I thank God. I know where she is. Thank you, Lord.
Any others? No? Let's sing one more. I lift my voice and then I'll ask Brother Howard to bring the message.
I lift my voice in song unto thy name. I lift my hands, your every day the same. Come fill me now, Lord Jesus, let it be. Let now my lips speak profound praise. Praise and worship to thy name.
He's a mighty Saviour. Amen. Good testimonies, encouraging, simple, as Brother Tim said. It's the simple things that God deals in. Hallelujah. Isn't he a wonderful Saviour? I wonder if we could turn our Bibles this afternoon to to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And we'll begin with verse 14, of course. Jesus speaking, "Ye are the light of the world." Does anyone think that's amazing? I used to think, well, Jesus was the light of the world. He didn't say that. Just read what he says. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, Sister Maria, why not? Your light so shine." Where am I? "Shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." May God bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we really love you this afternoon, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Just pray you'll speak to our hearts. Just draw us closer to thee. Help us, Lord. Lead us. As Brother Tim said, we need you to do this. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will help us. Commit this word to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to do something here. Here we go. Praise the Lord. This morning, just for your interest, we're broadcasting live. And Sister Y, that's Andrew's wife, was listening live this morning, and she sent us a comment. They can send a comment on the service, and Tom said she sent us a comment. I don't know what she said yet, but I'm sure it was good. And we're on live this afternoon, so anybody in Gisborne can listen to these services live, which is really actually a great blessing. And if you like it, really like it, want to come down to church and be right here and 438 Nelson Road, you're very welcome to come and join us. It's just like you see it on the screen, but it's live. It's live again, the real life. So you're very welcome. Praise the Lord. So we've just read from Matthew 5:14. I just want to entitle this, A Lighthouse of Hope. A Lighthouse of Hope. As I said previously, it's amazing where the light's coming from. People say, oh, it's the Lord. He's the light. And he is. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he did. But he said, you are the light of the world. Wait a moment. How can this be? If Jesus is the light of the world, and then he turns around and says, you are the light of the world. You know what that tells us? Same light. It's got to be in you. His light's got to be in you so that it shines out of you. Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. So if we're the branches, the fruit comes on the vine, on the branches, from the vine. If we're in the vine, Christ the vine, and we're the branches, that's the only way the fruit of Christ can be seen in you. All right, Brother Tim, that's what you're saying. You can't do it of yourself. It has to be God to do that. So I just thank the Lord. In this dark world we live in, it's a desperate time for the light of God. It's a great opportunity for the light of God to be shining in this dark world, in this hopeless state without God. And they don't even know it. They don't know the state they're in. They don't understand what's going on. The world doesn't. You know, the politicians, they all get up, they all act all bold, and they haven't a clue what they're talking about. Do you agree?
Yep.
Absolutely. The opposition will tell you that too. But the thing is, they don't know either. What we need is the light of the world.
Amen.
We want Christ to, and he will. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to take over the ship soon. And we're going to have a new sheriff in town. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus, he'll run this as he is ordained to run it. So that's what we want to speak about. A lighthouse of hope. So, where is the light coming from? Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And it's coming from us. And not just us, but all the children of God, wherever they may be, that have the light of hope in them, is shining out of them. And that is where he has ordained the light to come from. You'd think it'd have to come from an angel or something. No, he's ordained it to come from people. So we have a great responsibility. If somebody's telling us about talking to people about the Lord, was it you? Lunchtime, whatever, or might in here, I can't remember. But the Lord is wanting us to be a witness. That is where he has ordained the light to come from. What a responsibility that we have to shed the light to others. I always think about this. I think about this. God knows I do. Sometimes I've walked past people in another country in an airport lounge or something. And I've spoken to them a little about the Lord or just very briefly. Well, sometimes I don't even get to speak to them about the Lord. Sometimes it's just virtually a greeting or whatever. And then I think, Lord, did I leave something with that person that I'll never see again, ever, until the judgment? What sort of impact did I leave with them? May not be my words, maybe my attitude, maybe the love or compassion I had in my heart for them. So I often think, Lord, don't let me miss an opportunity. We are responsible lighthouses. We've got to give out that light to whoever, and we're not partial. The light goes out to whomsoever will. We don't choose who sees the light. You can imagine the ray of hope in the heart of a seafaring mariner. You know, if you've ever been out in a rough sea, you know, I haven't been out in the real serious stuff where my life was threatened. Brother Lee might have. He's our fisherman here, but you get out in a big sea and you've sort of half lofted your way. The fog's closing in, it's getting dark. You don't know where you are. Then you don't know where the rocks are. You don't know where things are. And all of a sudden you come around, you see a light beam. A lighthouse. Can imagine the joy in that lost seaman's heart, he'll see his wife and children again. For he's found the lighthouse, a lighthouse of hope. And brothers and sisters, in the spiritual realm, people don't even realize they're lost. But when they meet you, they feel something. Something real in this guy down here. It's Keith. There's something different about him. It's a lighthouse of hope. So may God help us all. The lighthouse will guide him home to the haven of rest, a haven of safety. How much more a wayward child of God to see God's light in you and to be brought into the haven of rest of our Lord Jesus Christ. People need hope and encouragement. Who believes that?
Amen.
Tell you, there's people out here in Gisborne are desperate, really desperate. They just want somebody to give them a hope. So that's why it's not good to go around fooling around people and being stupid. But have something sensible, something uplifting, something that encourages them, give them a ray of hope, because you become a lighthouse of hope. Deep down in their hearts, there's a hopelessness and insecurity. They may not tell you or anyone else, but there is. People may be listening to this broadcast, and there's a hopelessness and insecurity in you right now. When you hear the word of God, it creates faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They know in their heart of hearts that this world is in big trouble. We all know that. And it's more than a coronavirus. It's a lot worse than that. And it's coming. Jesus said in Matthew 24, there'll come a tribulation upon the earth that was never ever once seen or never will ever be seen again. The worst time in world history. It's just upon it, coming up on us. We've got to have a hope, a blessed hope, to share with your family, to share with your friends, to share with those you meet on the street. Great responsibility. What did you do with the life raft you had in your hand? You had a life preserve and you didn't give it to them. And all you had to do is throw it out and say, listen, Sister Merle, if you died tonight, remember you saying that? The man on the phone said that you wanted something with your computer. Yes. But they probably stuck something in his head. Wow, I've never heard of that. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? So we have a great responsibility. Furthermore, they do not know what to do. And there's a sense of hopelessness. So it's just like, oh, come to church. Well, you could do that as well, but it's not just going to church. It's more than that. They unconsciously scan the horizon for any hope in this darkened world. People could be looking for hope and not even realize that they are seeking it. Satan causes them to seek the pleasures of this world, hoping it will help, but does not. It actually takes them further away from God. Can a person be filled with the Holy Ghost in this evil, degenerate world? It's still possible. He will fill people with the Holy Ghost right to the end. When the last one gets it, we're out of here. Hallelujah. So the sooner we can get them to Christ, the sooner we can get them to receiving the Spirit of God, that'll be our ticket out. He'll come. He won't delay. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Bible says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So we're fast approaching the time when nobody will be saved anymore. There'll come a day when nobody will be saved. When the last one comes in, we all go out. The Church of the Living God leaves for glory. Does that excite you?
Yes.
So wonderful. I hope he comes tonight. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Brother Tom? Yes. Hallelujah. It'll be wonderful. So there's a great urgency for each one of us to be living examples today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, you are the epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. People are reading you at work. People read you at the bus stop or wherever you are. They're watching your attitude. That's so precious. You know, I meet people, telling my wife the other day, I meet people, I don't know how I feel it, but I feel it real strong. And I can tell what spirit they're of straight away. They have a welcome spirit, a really good spirit. And there's others that just, it's not good. It's just nothing, nobody home, as it were. But you see, brother and sister, if you see somebody hungering, be sensitive. You know, Jesus said, don't be slow of heart. Understand these people need the Lord. And you may be the only person that will give them that answer. So what a responsibility we have. So, can a person be filled? Yes, they can be. Is it possible for a man and a woman to be saved in this late hour? Yes, but time's running out. Where is the man of God? He walked in the Spirit, and people knew it. There used to be in the old days, people say, there goes a man of God. There goes a woman of God. You don't hear that very much today because they're hard to find. A child of God has a mark on them. And people recognize it. They may not put it in words. They may not even understand it. But they know there's something about you. So many testimonies about that. The time it comes, time comes when the door closes. God closes the door. Like he did in Noah's day. The Bible says, and God shut the door. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So God's going to shut the door once more. The churches will fill up and no one's going to get saved. It's over. So we need to redeem the opportunity and the time we have to tell everybody. We come across, and God's looking to you, holding you responsible to speak to that person. Don't put it off. Don't say, oh, what will they think of me? That's their life, eternal life. You tell them in a loving way what God has done for you. So time's fast approaching when it'll be over. There's a great urgency for each one of us to be living examples today. I love that scripture. Yeah, epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It's just amazing. Who wants to be an encouragement to precious dying souls? We don't understand the impact just by showing a bit of love to somebody. You may not have the words, I don't know what to say. Just tell them what Jesus done for you.
Yes.
You are the witness. No one else can take that testimony. You are the witness. No one can take your place. So there's a great sacrifice involved for Christ to be seen in us as a lighthouse of hope to others. There will be a sacrifice on our part. There will be a sacrifice on our part. There has to be less of us and more of Christ. You know, getting back to the lighthouse keepers, they used to have many lighthouse keepers in New Zealand. They don't have them anymore. It's done by electronically now. But in those days, they lived on the lighthouse. They had to rough it through terrible storms. They had to go and get their groceries, risk their lives, climbing up those stairs just to save a soul at sea, save a ship at sea. Save many souls at sea. So what I'm saying in the natural, in the spiritual, there is a sacrifice for you to be a lighthouse of hope. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've got to be concerned for other souls. You see a guy, a lady at the letterbox or whatever, next to a neighbor. Oh, she's just an old person or something. You don't do anything, next day she dies. Oh, brother, sister, how do you feel? What did I say? That's why I was saying to the Lord, can I leave something behind? Lord, can I leave a ray of hope in their heart? You may not have said a lot of words, but just your very attitude proves that you care. You care for their soul. And that caring for their soul creates a thirst in their heart to ask for more. In Philippians chapter 2, I'm just going to read that again. 2:4 from the Amplified Bible. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, not your own interests, but also each for the interest of others. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're just saying to Bronwyn and Albert, night before, we said this to them, you know, that you've got to have a compassion for people. The Bible says when Jesus is standing on the hillside and he saw the people coming over the hill, multitudes, the Bible says, and when he saw the multitude, he was filled with compassion. We should be filled with compassion when we see souls going to lost eternity. We don't want to judge them the way they're dressed or by all the stuff over their face or tattoos or whatever it is. They are precious souls that need Christ. Amen. When we look at the people of the world, we should consider them as precious souls heading for shipwreck. And we are a lighthouse of hope. You may be the only person they're walking past. Just a glimpse in your eye can change things for them. We should never judge them because of position or outward appearances. Try to think of them as a saved soul full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I had an experience one day at the Gisborne Airport. The old airport, not the one now. And I was standing there, I was watching these people filing past. They used to come straight through into the building. And I saw this person coming and wasn't really a very good person to look at. It was a lady, actually. And they had all dressed up to, you know, whatever. And when I saw them, I thought, my, it doesn't look good. Then it's like something came to me. What if they are filled with the Holy Ghost now? Amen. I had to put my sunglasses on. I was so tired. I was so overcome. I just felt like I was right there. Saw her just praising God. That's all it takes for the Spirit of God to come on that soul, to save them, to make them a new creature. So you see, brother and sister, we've got to realize if we're lighthouses of hope, and we have the light, and he's given us the light, we've got to give it out. Don't be like that person who hid the talent. You buried it. And Jesus said, thou wicked servant. Why did you bury what I'd given you? And people know what to do and refuse to share what God has given you. The scripture says in James 5:20, let him know. Let him know. Listen. That he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. That's what it does. That's a real challenge to me. Because, oh, you're a preacher. It has nothing to do with it. It's down at the bus stop or at the flea market or wherever it is. We've got to let it shine. Just let it shine. So what I do, just let it shine. He does the shining. We're the light, but the light comes from him and it's in us. Also in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. The best thing you can do in this world is win a soul to Christ. Not your job, not your position, not your wealth. It's to win a soul to Christ. Bearing in mind, it's not our preaching, but the life we live and reflect. That's what guides the weary soul to Christ. They're not looking at your sermon, all the words and explaining everything. They can feel that you care for their soul. So there's a sacrifice on our part for the hidden life to be seen. The Bible says in Luke 17:33, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." We all need to make sure. We all need to make some personal sacrifices to give up those things that were once precious, but they were stealing your time. They were actually stealing your time. You could have been speaking to somebody about the Lord. There's a need to engage in spiritual discipline. Daily exercise in God. How many have such a desire for the Holy Ghost life to be filled in you? Who has that desire to be filled with it? You know, the only way that you're going to be a lighthouse of hope to somebody is for the Holy Spirit in you to shine out of you. Shines out of your eyes. You say, they don't know. Yes, they do. They do. They'll pick it up like that. You know, people think the world's silly. They're not silly. The world's got great discernment. They know whether you're real or not. They know whether you're putting on a show. They know whether you're genuine. Absolutely. So may God help us. Are we willing to make those sacrifices? Romans 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Oh, you like living, which is a sacrifice. "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God's got breath in your body because he hasn't finished with you. You know, the story of D.L. Moody, I was telling the brother from the church the other day, the minister. I was telling about D.L. Moody. He went to the doctor because he's been a preacher holding campaigns all over the world. Great man of God. Thousands of souls coming to Christ for his ministry. He's getting really tired and went to the doctor, and the doctor said to him, "Mr. Moody, you're really pushing it a bit." He said, "You need to cut back. I think what you need to do is get on a ship and go for a rest. Just cut it down now. You're getting too old for this." So Brother Moody got on the ship, went across the Atlantic Ocean. And halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, a fire broke out on the engine room. I tell you what, they did everything in their power to put that fire out. You know what? They couldn't do it. So he realized what the end result will be, and he got down on his knees, went down into his cabin. He cried out to God, "God, please save us, Lord. Put that fire out and save us." You know what the Holy Spirit said to him? "What do I want to do that for? You don't want to serve me anymore? You might as well come home." That's exactly what the Spirit of God said to him. He got down and repented to God, said, "Lord, forgive your foolish servant for that attitude." And the fire went out. Isn't that wonderful? God means what he says. So it says there, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Because sometimes you've got to go out of your way to speak to somebody. Don't care what people think about you. Tell the truth. God will do the rest. It's your reasonable service. Just reasonable service to witness to somebody. And be not conformed to this world. Goodness me, we're speaking about that this morning. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This change is not an overnight experience, brother and sister. It's a cutting away of the flesh, which takes time. The Lord has to cut away the flesh that he may be seen clearly in us. He doesn't want you in this. He wants to be in you to do it. In Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This is a spiritual exercise of dying to self. I want to read a quote here from Brother Branham. He said this: a man, before he can come to Christ, the first thing has to take place, he has to be circumcised. Circumcised not as flesh, but by the Spirit. It cuts all the world and the foolishness of the world. Cut it off him by the gospel. This is that blessed circumcision knife. And the only way that I know of, Hebrews 4 said, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting away even to the marrow of the bone, and a discerner of the thoughts of the mind, and God knows your heart. You've got to cut it off. You've got to have to go. You're going to have to leave. Our flesh is in the way. It is. It's in the way. Oh, it's a church. No. Oh, it's a preacher. No. It's me. Well, that's where the problem is. Stopping the flow of the Spirit and compassion and love for souls to be saved. So it takes regular discipline, daily reading of the Word. Not only that, it requires daily prayer and waiting on God. Has to be. Daily personal devotion is missing in people's lives. It's not there. Daily devotional is missing in people's lives. When's the last time you had a devotion? You, down on your knees, next to your bed. When did you last have a time alone with God? Some people say, well, I don't. That's your problem. Devotion's missing in many of the believers' lives. We wonder why we do not reflect the lighthouse of hope. You've got to have it in you. The light's got to be there to give out to others. We have to seriously discipline ourselves in a daily routine of sacrifice. Not a duty. It's not a duty. Oh, I've got to do this. Brother Howard, so we've got to forget Brother Howard. That's what God said. By an overwhelming love for God, you're looking forward to every child coming in, and then we're out of here.
Praise God.
We're out of here. So if we could just work a bit harder, there must be souls here in Gisborne that need to come in, Brother Tom. There's all your family for a starter. There's interest, but we've got to just put the pressure on a little. Hey, time's running out. You need to do something now. Now's accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Tell them. Spiritually speaking, there's a daily cutting away of our fleshly ways. The only way to really achieve this is by feeding on the Word of God. For the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. But this work of grace must be seasoned with prayer. If you're not praying before you go out to witness, you're really wasting your time. You've got to be in prayer. But this work of grace must be seasoned. The word alone will not do it. People say, I'll just preach the word, I'll give them a book to read. They won't do it. It may help. But unless we are praying and communing with God, it doesn't have a lot of effect. So, we are the world's last hope. This is the last frontier for many of the world, is the children of God. Not just us, but wherever his children are. We are responsible to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. When he was on earth, he went about saving souls and healing the sick. He made it very clear when he said in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in New Zealand, and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth," which happens to be New Zealand. You've got to get the power. As we've been preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got to get the power. It's the only way you can do it. What a power when it comes. There are people out there craving for eternal life. Isn't it great when somebody asks, "What must I do to be saved?" What a great honor. Just take a seat. Let's have a few minutes about this, you know. Love to speak to them about the Lord. Every person that believes Jesus Christ is responsible to shine the light of hope. God has chosen us to be a lighthouse of hope to a dying world. May the Lord grant us the holy burden to save souls. Brother Lee was saying this a while ago. You just don't realize the impact it's going to have when you're speaking to somebody. You can't put it on. You've got to have a love in your heart for their soul to be saved. When that happens, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. I pray the time has not already arrived, that the last one has already come in. I pray not. Because I believe if it has, we wouldn't be here. How many do you see truly being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? Therefore, there is a great urgency than ever to quickly go to work. Not to be messing around, wasting time on senseless things. People say, but I need that. No, you don't. You don't need anything. Have Christ in your heart and get souls saved. Your next door neighbor may be craving, unknowingly craving for eternal life. And you're sitting right there as a light out of hope. They're waiting for you to say something. God's waiting for you to say something. Jesus said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me." This is what Jesus said. "While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." There's coming a time we will not be able to witness anymore. It'll be finished. So we've got to testify now while it's day. Get out there and speak it. The scripture which I mentioned earlier on this morning, before we close, is found in Ephesians 5:15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity to witness to that starving neighbor of yours. They like you, they see something, but what is it? And you've never told them." He said, "Because the days are evil." This is an evil day and it's really hard to get souls in. You've got to work hard at it. If you get one in, what a difference you'll be on the next meeting. I tell you, it'll be such a joy. It'll be written all over you. "I witnessed and here they are today serving the Lord." Isn't that great? Who wants to do this? Say amen. May God grant that to us. Maybe just pray now. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to thee. And these are very serious words, Lord. They're your words. Most of them are just your words. But Lord, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. The night cometh when no man can work. Lord Jesus, this is a great responsibility I have. How it's all. I can't say, all I preach. That's not what I'm talking about. It's getting out and witnessing to individuals. Help us all. We're all preachers. We've got you living in our hearts. You said you are the light of the world. So if we have you living in our hearts, we have responsibility to let that light shine. Help us, Lord. Move upon every heart here. Those that are listening with us, may you move upon them, Lord. We're believing for the final move of God to call your church home. We're just weary of this world, Lord. We just want to go to be with you. We want to go and catch up with Sister Shirley, Lord, and Brother Searle and all the others, the wonderful saints that have gone on before. Help us, Lord. We're looking to you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this lovely song as we stand to our feet. Let me just say, the Sister Peregrine's wife, the Sister Peregrine, she used to sing this, and I used to weep every time I heard it. Powerful words. Just can't help it. I hope I don't cry now. But hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? The Lord is asking. Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? These are wonderful words. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will point them to the narrow way? Here it is, my brother and sister. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Speak to you. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Speak, and I will answer thee. Let me tell you one story. It's true. There's a man who used to go to church. He loved the Lord. And he worked on the factory floor, and he worked next to a man that was just across the desk for 40 years. And one day a situation came where he had to mention the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man across the bench said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes," he said, "I'm a Christian." "I never knew that." And he'd been there for 40 years and never said a word. God help us. Let's sing this. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be, then the voice of God said, "Who'll go for us?" Then he answered, "Here am I, send me." Oh, hallelujah. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. Millions now in sin and shame are gone. The dying, right now! Listen to the sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quick. The answer must to hear am I. Speak, my Lord. Speak to me. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer me. Speak to me. Speak, and I will answer, Lord. Brother and sister, don't you find these challenging words? This is a message to you. He's wanting you to go out as the lighthouse of hope. He's depending on you to get out and tell. Soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child, well done. It's time's running out. Now's the hour. Now is the day of salvation. Soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. The Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, speak my Lord. Speak to me. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak my Lord. Speak to me.
One, two, one. There's never been a day like this day to me.
There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day.
Jesus, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, once again. Lord, as we about to depart, Lord, I just pray a blessing upon each one, Lord, and those that might listen in as well. It's only you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that it can equip us, Lord, and Lord, cause these things to take place in our lives, Lord, whether it's guidance, Lord, or just to be filled with your love and compassion, Lord, for the lost. Lord, I truly believe it's by your Spirit, Lord, that you make these things come to pass and manifest within each one, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would come and strengthen each one, Lord, and may we be drawn and led according to your spirit, Lord, and what you would have for each life in person here, Lord, and those that might listen as well, Lord. We commit each heart here, Lord, into your hands as we walk through the week, Lord. May you guide us and may we just be that light, Lord, that shines to a darkened world, Lord. And Lord, we commit all things into your hands, Lord, knowing that it's you watching over us, Lord. And may we be drawn, Lord, to a place of quiet prayer, Lord, where you can lead and guide us. And we commit all things into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you, saints. You are dismissed.